D2. Number 5B.
And so, I feel that in the way, you see, we are engaged in practicing not so much only Christian Science, but absolute Christian Science, I begin to realize every day that only life, truth, and love are that which brings me into being, are that which is my parents, is that which forms me, is that which gives individuality to me, it's that which individualizes me. But the way it wants me to individualize, not the way anybody likes me to be. Everyone is a bit nasty to the other one in the sight of the other one, but it doesn't really matter. All that matters is, are we going to demonstrate what life, truth, and love is wanting me to be? We really begin to handle subconscious mortal mind, latent error. But if we would like to do that without the level of divine science, then somehow we wouldn't get that peace and rest which only divine science gives us. Absolute Christian Science is still that which pounds with the power of life, truth, and love on us, which is like a dynamic force that comes down. It's like that Mount Zion that comes down, the Lord comes down and treads on the hill, and everything just melts away like wax before the fire. That's what the prophets were really telling us, that we have to put the right question about men. Do I want to be that man which I like to be, or do I want to be that instrument in God's hand which is just putty in God's hand and can be molded and fashioned according to what He wants me to do, what He is going to do with me? Then I begin to tackle the Esau in me, just as Obadiah has shown that so wonderfully. But it's still that tremendous power and upstirring and chemicalization, perhaps combined with it, which goes on. Still, the floods and the tides coming in and going out, until consciousness rises higher to the sense of divine science and finds there peace, rest, harmony, heaven, where we see that we can't stay just with Christian Science plus absolute Christian Science, but somehow that our heart and consciousness and soul must get some rest. The rest in that oneness. In that oneness where we see all is well. All is well. Even what's going on in that stirring of the level of Christian Science and absolute Christian Science is peace and not the stirring. Is harmony and not disharmony. Is perfect demonstration and not success and failure, but is always progression. And I get that peace. I get that peace that though the world is at fire, though my whole life may be at fire, fundamentally, deep down, is divine science that all is well. All is well. But even there, I cannot rest. Finally. Somehow, thought needs a higher level. The level of science itself. That level of science itself, where we sit back and see that there is nothing to do with us nor with the universe. All that is going on is only the infinite one from which comes one principle are its infinite idea, and with the infinite idea come laws, rules, and the demonstration thereof. Where I begin to look away completely from people, from the world, from the age in which we live, from everything, I just see that God does not know anything about human beings, good or evil, does not know anything about the universe, good or evil universe, does not know anything but its own idea. Then I feel there I want to stay. So you can see that every level as we go needs somehow the next level until finally we have a sense I'm there where I always was, in the I am. Well, let's see what it would imply if we would only have the top level and not the other ones. That is, let's see if this would not be enough to just start right on the top. You know, this is a very tempting concept, just to start on the top and stay there. You say, well, why should that be tempting? That would be wonderful. That would be the climax. No. No. We can't dissect infinite being into parts. Because if we would start at the top, just with science itself, and see, oh yes, Max said nothing is going on but principle and idea, therefore that must be so because Max said that. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. It is so. But until one sees it, what it implies, it's dangerous beyond words. Because then we have only a conceptual sense of principle and its infinite operation of idea. It isn't a spiritual, divine sense. It's only a conceptual sense. Our brain is trained so wonderfully through our schools that it can easily shift from one belief to the other, from one concept to the other. And for the brain is just as easy to think the most rotten thing and the next moment the most beautiful thing. Conceptually, this is no achievement to go from one extreme to the other. Instead of saying, oh, hell is let loose, you just say, oh, there is nothing going on but principle and its idea. There's no achievement in that. There is no substance in that. There is no atmosphere in that. There is no experience in that. There is only conceptual thinking in that. So, if we start only with science, on the level of science, we only get the conceptual sense of being, of the one principle. Not that holy, living, sense of experience of that one being. It will be abstract. It will be theoretical. You see, that's why people read the textbook. Some people say, oh, how warm that textbook is. The others throw it away and say, oh, this cold reasoning in this textbook, I can't stand it. There is no warmth in it. There is no gentleness in it. There is no... Well, it's all dependent on us. If we have only a conceptual sense of principle and its infinite operation as idea, that principle is called abstract, theoretical, conceptual. Therefore, that science must have the warm sense of divine science. And if we have that warm sense of divine science embedded into science, then science itself is warm too. then the very same statement in the textbook suddenly become warm, become practical, become near to the heart, become so living. You see, if I would give you a statistical yearbook, would you enjoy reading it? No? Perhaps not one of you would. I would. It's a thrill. It's a thrill to take a statistical yearbook with only numbers in it, statistics. It's a thrill. Why? Because I know statistics. I have learned that. I have been using it. I had to use it. I have to make my statistics. I have to deal with it. They speak to me. A statistical yearbook for me is not cold. It's much more interesting than any criminal, criminal story. Much more. A detective story. See? Because I can see what it means. I can see the structure behind it. I can see the relationship behind it. To me, it reveals a whole story. To me, a statistical yearbook, say, of a country can give me a better description of a country than the best journalist can give me in a book about that country. It's only the difference of consciousness. That's all. For me, numbers and statistics are not theoretical, are not cold, are living. It's a living book. For the other, it's dead. So that's numbers. And so it is with science. The moment we see the depths of science itself, it is always warm. It is always near to the heart. It always tells an enormous story. It always tells the story of everything and of the infinite. So we can see that science itself, in order to get that warmth, naturally must be wedded to divine science, because divine science gives the divine nature of that infinite principle. And we experience the divine as something warm, near to the heart. The divine is that which comes to us and blesses us, comforts us, talks to us. That's the divine Christ that does that. So science as such is only then living, warm science, if we also have seen it as divine science. We cannot leave it at divine science. If we leave it at divine science can become a sense of, what you call it, escapism, a sense of fatalism. Because your sense says first, oh, in science only principle and idea is going on. And divine science, yes, and that divine principle is the one life and the one truth, the one love, so what can happen to me, nothing can ever happen to me. And slowly it takes us asleep. It puts us asleep because it misses absolute Christian science. It misses still that impulsive, that dynamic, that manifesting sense of life, truth, and love as infinite ideas of life, truth, and love coming to manifestation at every point of experience, breaking through everywhere in every situation. And that wakes one up to be consciously conscious of the infinite calculus of ideas. And only as we become consciously conscious of the infinite calculus of idea, we are somehow over the, what you call, or the safe side, so to say. So watch out that we are not satisfied with that comforting, warm, peaceful sense of divine science, where we within us everything says, all is all right, all is well, to besides I have said on the upward state, all is well. It isn't all well if it lacks its ground, if it lacks the right foot and the left foot, if it lacks absolute Christian science and Christian science, which puts us on solid ground and says, you are not somewhere being up in heaven in the clouds, but you stand on solid ground. You stand on mind, spirit, and soul. And so we get a sense, really, that only then any dualistic sense within ourselves is being resolved. And then, when we have achieved that, then we can say, yes, I live in this world, but not out of this world. I live in this world where to human sense, to mortal sense, all sorts of things is going on, good and bad, constructive, destructive, peace and war, and I don't know what. And yet, I feel, no, it's not true that is going on. It's only the divine principle and its infinite idea is going on. Again, I start with science itself, but now I know what I mean. Now I know that if I look into the world and live in this world, that I'm not of this world. I know that. And therefore then science has become tangible, concrete, has become living, has become experience. Yes. So I wanted just to think this out with you, and perhaps you do that too again, and again, and again, and again. All these things I can just present in a very imperfect way, I know. Because, first of all, perhaps my language is not good enough. Second, one never has yet touched that whole thing so concretely, so definitely, that it is already so definite that one can present it in a, say, absolute, convincing way. Also, I don't think that this chart can be taught. I don't believe that. I don't believe that it can be taught. It can only be born to each one. And to have that chart be born to each one, what is necessary is to think it over. Think it over. But to think it over not in a haphazard way, always in a way of structure. In the way of structure, either of the four levels going up the scale and going down the scale and both together, and think that thing out quietly, prayerfully, all by oneself, asking that right question, what does Christian science mean? What does absolute Christian science mean? What is the difference of tone? What does divine science mean? What is the difference of tone? What is science? What is the difference of tone? And little by little, it becomes our own cybernetic. These levels I have been talking about in a way of ascending and descending. And I must also make one word clear, and that's the descending term. The descending doesn't mean the falling away from, the falling down, the letting down the standard. We are not letting down the standard when we come from science to divine science and then to absolute Christian science and then to Christian science. So the descending is not a derogatory sense, you see. Nothing at all. It doesn't take away any of the higher values. It's just only a network which we lie over the infinite one. So in each level, the whole bigness of the oneness of being is kept intact. The synonymous terms in it are always a synonymous term. They are never just a bit of it. They are always the whole of the synonymous term. And so let's correct in our mind that the descending way is really not a falling down way. It's not even a relative way or making the absolute relative. Christian Science is not a relative level, not at all. Just because we have named absolute Christian Science absolute, that doesn't make Christian Science relative. Relative is a sense when we stand outside of the chart and look at the chart, then the chart is relative to us. But that doesn't enter into the discussion because we are in the chart. We go out from within the wholeness of being and stay within the wholeness of being, and therefore there is always the whole expressed, and it becomes never, never relative. Another point is this in regard to this chart. If we speak of the ascending and descending way, we mustn't think of the ladder, of Jacob's ladder, the angels going up and down, and nothing really happens. With the chart it is so that the angels go up the ladder and come down the ladder, but not quite down, only to the second last. And then they go up, and then they come down, and they stop at the third last. In other words, every consciousness which is in harmony with that ascending and descending way has as its effect an ascending evolution. It isn't just always putting things straight where it was. Therefore, there is evolution. Therefore, in being, we have evolution. If those ascending and descendings would always come down to the same level, we would never have evolution. Never something new would happen. Mankind wouldn't evolve. We would still climb on the trees and have a happy time with some coconuts and so on. But we must see, you see, that even if we use that human incorrect language of ascending and descending, that fundamentally it is only ascending. It is fundamentally never descending. The effect is always that we arrive at a higher plane, that there is evolution.